7 days. Would you consider that a blessing of God? He considered a blessing because now let me hear for 7 days. Let me just hear about Krishna. Hare Krishna. And he was so blissful in this state of hearing the glories of the Lord. And he's especially very interested because in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has just killed Rakshasi Putana. You all know this Putana. She was a Kechari witch. In the true sense of the word, she was a terrible, terrible demoness coming from a whole family line of asuras. The asura caste. Her brother was Bakasura, and her youngest brother was Agasura. He was the child of the family. Putana was 12 miles long. Her little brother was only 8 miles long. So these are very big demons. So she came to kill Krishna. She disguised herself as a beautiful, beautiful woman, so beautiful that Rohini and Yashoda thought, Lakshmi herself has come to bless our child. She put deadly poison upon her breast. Sat little baby Krishna, who was just born. He was just born days before. How many of you mothers have had children? All mothers had children, I guess. It's not a very intelligent question I'm asking. I'm an conditioned soul. So,
Hare Krishna.
You have seen children when they come out. It's very difficult to identify what species they are when they first come out. Of course, the mother thinks they're so beautiful, and the father thinks, oh, I've never seen such a beautiful child. And everyone's saying, such a beautiful child. Such a beautiful, beautiful child. The child's so beautiful. Swamiji, do you want to see this beautiful child? And then I see it, oh, like... I'm controlled. The wonderful ceremony that Nanda Maharaj felt, I must pay taxes to Kamsa in Mathura. So he left with many of the other gopas. While he was there, he met with Vasudev. Vasudev actually heard Nanda Maharaj was in Mathura, so he came to see him. His special reason is he wanted to know how his child Krishna was without revealing that it was his child. And he said to Nanda Maharaj, you better get back very soon because there may be great dangers coming for your child. So while he was away, Krishna was little baby. Everyone thought he's just a baby. And Putana came and she put deadly poison and he just took and he started sucking that milk and sucked out that poison and kept sucking and he was squeezing Hare Krishna. Putana was in his little tiny hands were squeezing. She was in terrible pain and he was squeezing and sucking and squeezing and sucking and Putana was saying, get off me, child, get out, leave me, leave me. And Krishna just... And ultimately, she was in so much pain, she ran out of the house, she ran into the pasture grounds. And then she assumed her original form 12 miles in size. She was still saying, child, leave me! Can you imagine what a little baby is compared to a person 12 miles long? She still could not get him away until he sucked out her very life. She fell, crashing to the ground, breaking all the trees in the forest around. Very wonderful. Then Nanda Maharaj came back, Yashoda and the gopis, they took Krishna and started trying to worship the Lord for saving him. And Nanda Maharaj came back, and when he saw this big, big Rakshasi laying in his pasture fields, he was wondering, what is this? So then they burned they chopped up the body. These little cowherd men were just chopping up the body and putting it in fire. And the fire was, the body was burning just like incense. There was a sweet nectarine smell coming from the smoke, because her body had been touched by Krishna. Although she was terribly steeped in the mode of the darkest, cruelest ignorance, just by being touched by Krishna, her body became sweet and fragrant. And her soul went back to Vaikuntha to become the mother of Krishna eternally. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Whatever Lord, what Lord can be so merciful as Krishna? This was the prayer of Uddhava. So then, after hearing this wonderful, wonderful narration, Maharaj Parikshit is asking, please tell me more. What did Krishna do next? Sukadeva Goswami, he's very excited, because there's nothing more pleasurable to a speaker of the Bhagavatam than having someone who's eager to hear. And I won't say what we feel like when people are falling asleep. When somebody's eager to hear, you become eager to speak, because it's a very personal process. Bhakti is personal. The whole process of bhakti is reciprocation between people. Just as Putanas, cruel, envious, ignorant body and soul were completely
all of that up simply to give my affection to a deer. And what is the result? I'm walking around the forest in the body of an animal eating grass. What a fool I am. But as a deer, he just, wherever the rishis were chanting the names and glories of Krishna, he would listen. He was not attached to the enjoyments that deers like to enjoy. And in his next birth, he became a Brahmin, but he did not want in any way to become implicated with false ego, or all of the benefits that come due to false pride. So he pretended to be completely ignorant, although he knew everything. He was the wisest of the wise, but he did everything opposite the proper way as far as the rituals of daily practical life, just so everyone would think he was a fool. If everyone thinks you're a fool, there's not too much to be proud of. If everyone thinks everything you do is useless, still you can become proud. That is the nature of Maya. But not so much of an opportunity. So he lived like this, and ultimately he was living in the forest. And Maharaj Rahugna's people asked him to carry the palanquin. But as soon as an ant would crawl on the street, he would stop. And when one person stops and three people are moving, the person on top feels the effect. So the king was, what is this? Why are you making like this? All the three men said, "It's him, this new man. He stopped. Don't you stop. I am king." So they started. But then an ant came crawling again. He stopped. "What you are doing, this is nonsense. I will punish you. You walk and you do not stop." So he walked. But an ant came. This is Jed Barat. He was more concerned with the ant than the king. Andita Samadarshanaha. He was seeing with equal vision all living entities. Whether one is king or ant, the super soul is within everyone's heart. Every living being is part of Krishna. He was willing to be killed by the king to not kill an ant. This is Vaishnava. This is the quality of a true devotee of the Lord. So the king was so angry, he just started saying, "I am king, you are just a useless servant. You must obey me, you have disobeyed, you will be punished." Then Jad Bharat began to speak. "You are in great illusion. You think you're king. You think I'm your servant. In next birth, I may be king and you may be servant." You should be careful what you speak. And he began to explain the nature of the eternal soul. How the soul is always different from this material body. But the soul, according to its desires and activities, is transmigrating since time immemorial through various species of life. Sometimes we go up and sometimes we go down in this evolutionary scale. But the soul is part of Krishna. But somehow or other, due to the influence of the illusory energy, the soul has come under the captivity of the mind and the senses, and has thus come under the subjugation of false ego. The false ego is that material power that causes us to forget our eternal existence, that we are such an ananda, we are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But now we are thinking we are this mind. And the mind is always trying to find pleasure through the senses, which are like wild horses, dragging our lives into so many various directions and activities for material enjoyment. And everything we do, we become incriminated in the bondage of karma, in which the gunas, the ropes of material nature, sattva guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, completely entangle our lives in a network of misconceptions. The mind is the cause. When the mind is not under the direction of the soul, being under the direction of the soul means following the dictations of the Word of God. The mind is the greatest enemy. The scriptures give us many warnings. Never trust your mind. However your mind so viciously but expertly presents himself in various disguises.
Hare Krishna.
Never trust the mind. Of course, in modern civilization, people are very much anxious to trust the mind. They do not want to accept any authority except the mind. Especially Western world, and coming just now coming to India more and more, there is this conception
defy authority, be independent, think for yourself, Hrivo. Think for yourself means be a slave of your worst enemy, Hare Krishna. But that is considered a very, very advanced way of thinking. Don't listen to scriptures, don't listen to guru, don't listen to sadhus. Listen to your mind. Who is that speaking this message? It is Maya. Through the mind. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that when one takes to spiritual life, his purpose is to control the mind. Without controlling the mind, there is no question of making any real spiritual advancement. Spiritual life without utilizing the mind's energies in the service of the Lord is simply an illusion. Just like a hunter, when the hunter catches an animal, the hunter should put no faith in that animal. Because if he does, the animal will immediately escape. If we are inattentive, not only may the animal escape, but it may attack us and kill us. The mind is that animal. Another example given by Srila Shukadev Goswami is the mind is like a prostitute, an unchaste wife. An unchaste wife wants to associate with paramours and have relations with those paramours. And ultimately the paramours will kill the husband. Similarly, if the mind is not guarded very, very attentively, the mind will begin to associate with the paramours of lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. And those paramours will ultimately kill the inclination for spirituality of the devotee. The Bhagavad Gita describes, if you can just do one thing, control your mind, the super soul, the Paramatma, God in your heart will be attained. But if you cannot, it is the mind itself that blocks your vision of the Lord within your heart. Krishna is seated in the heart of every living being. Why we cannot see Him? Why we cannot feel Him? Why we cannot hear Him? Why we cannot love Him? Only one reason. Because the mind is covered with the dirt of material attachments. Because the mind is still trying to find happiness, relief through the senses, rather than seeking shelter of our real friend, Krishna. The example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have a lamp, what gives light to that lamp is the wick. You have seen lantern. When the wick is properly controlled, it gives out illumination. When that wick is not properly controlled within the lamp, it will turn the whole lamp black. And due to the blackness of the lamp, you cannot even see the light coming through it. When the wick is controlled, contact with ghee, then that ghee will come through the lamp and give illumination. Our mind is like that wick. When it is properly controlled, in contact with the fresh ghee of Harinam, Harikatha, and Hariseva, then it will illuminate our lives, illuminate the world. However,
if our minds are not controlled, the lamp of our life will simply turn black. It will bring blackness to our own life, obscure the light of our soul, and anyone who comes in contact with us will become black.
Hare Krishna.
So therefore, the first principle of yoga is to control the mind. But it is very difficult. Arjuna explains in Gita that, Krishna, you are telling me I should control my mind. But in my honest opinion, to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Has anyone been successful in controlling the wind? When there is a great cyclone, a typhoon, as anyone thinks in a selfish way about their own self-interests, immediately that creates an atmosphere where there will be competition and envy. And therefore, as soon as that desire enters your heart, you cannot remain in Vaikuntha. This material world is ultimately meant to purge that desire from our heart by showing us how frustrating the ambitions for selfish desires are. So wonderful that the denizens of Vaikuntha, they have such opulence, but yet they are not proud. In this material world, if a person is a little beautiful, if their eyes have some distant semblance to a lotus petal, they think they're very beautiful. If someone's complexion is... In India, everyone thinks light complexion is beautiful. But in Vaikuntha, it's not like that. Blue complexion is beautiful. Not this white. One of my godbrothers was a Brijbasi. And Brijbasis are simple. They just, Radhan Krishna, Gopas, Gopis, they don't know so much about material things. So, some foreign devotees from the Western countries, they came to Vrindavan. They came to his home. He brought one of the brahmacharis to his home. And in India, people think, oh, this white complexion is very nice. Unfortunately, we see in our own congregation, that's the oftentimes amongst parents, that is the first, foremost, and most important consideration for marriage. That they have fair complexion and lots of money. Sometimes those are the two can... But anyways, this devotee brought one of our brahmachari godbrothers to his house, and the mother, she just became fearful. She said, don't let him in the house. I said, why? I said, he has white leprosy. Don't you see how his all the beautiful dark color of his body has just become completely disappeared due to the disease of leprosy? We don't want to look like that. So keep him away. It is contagious. So like this, everything is relative in this material world. Actually, in the Western world, nobody likes light complexion. People spend so much money going to these different, places where you, in the winter, where you sit under these lamps to get tan, they call it, to make your skin dark. In the summer, they put all kinds of lotions on their body and creams and sit out in the sun. They just lay there for hours and hours and hours trying to get their skin burnt so it looks darker, so they can attract the opposite sex. It's a fact. And in the winter, they go to these places and sit under these infrared lights. They're probably getting cancer along with it. Just to make their skin dark like an Indian, so they can attract the opposite sex. So the grass is always greener on the other side. That is the same. The whole material world is mad under the bodily conception of life. Because we don't know what real beauty is. Real beauty is blue complexion. Something materialists have not figured out yet. Not black. Trinadapi sunichena, to be humble like a blade of grass, is being illustrated here in a very practical way. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, from every point of view, is so senior to everyone. He's senior in age. He's senior in knowledge and philosophy. He's senior in realization, purity. He's senior due to his ecstatic knowledge and realization of the topmost love of God. But yet, he is honoring, respecting, and worshiping every devotee of the Lord. He is honoring and worshiping even the neophyte. Material consciousness, if someone is lower than us, we want to be respected. In real Vaishnava understanding, the most worshipable person is the person who is most eager to worship. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes say during his Vyas Puja that what kind of brute am I sitting on this high seat hearing all these words of praise? But then he revealed the inner confidential thoughts of his own heart. Because I'm your servant, I'm doing this just for your spiritual advancement. He was doing this as a humble servant to his disciples. It was his way of worshiping them. Srila Prabhupada, he explained, I see all my devotees as the representatives of my Guru Maharaj. Therefore, his mood was to worship them. How to worship them? Sometimes it means to train them. Sometimes it means to chastise them. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is seeking the dust of the feet of every Vaishnava. That should be our aspiration, to follow in his footsteps. According to the parampara system, I wish to take the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. I wish to take the dust of their lotus feet upon my head. In this way, I wish to be blessed with their mercy. Receiving the orders of the above authorities and the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, especially from Haridas, the priest of Govindaji, I, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, have tried to describe one small particle of one drop of one wave of the ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. It's becoming late, so I should let you go. But we are these wonderful devotional sentiments which embody the real treasure of humility and knowledge, of trying to assist all of you in this way, is Srila Prabhupada's mercy for allowing me this very sacred service, and your mercy for accepting my insignificant attempts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Does everyone like the new altar for Srila Prabhupada's books? When was it installed? 3 weeks back. You are satisfied? The philosophy behind this is not just decoration. It is an expression of our faith and our desire to preach that faith. I will share with you, of course, I'm sure all of you already have come to this realization, but still for my purification I would like to share with you the motivation and purpose behind having manufactured this beautiful, beautiful bookshelf for Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada explains that his books are none different than him. Prabhupada said, Vani is more important than Vapu because Vapu is temporary. Sometimes the great souls are with us, and sometimes they go to other places, or sometimes they go back to Godhead. But their Vani is always with us, their instructions. They are living in their Vani. Thakur Bhakti Vinod has prayed in this way in his salutation to Srila Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living, still in sound, Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around. So this is our faith in the reality that Srila Prabhupada is living in his books. Not only Srila Prabhupada, but all of the great acharyas in our disciplic succession are speaking to us personally and directly through those books. And those books are the words of Krishna. So they are non-different than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna book is literally a deity of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Krishna book is derived, every book of the Srimad Bhagavatam is literary, non-different than Krishna. It describes in Bhagavatam itself that after Krishna left this world, he descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that book is a deity, a worshipable. Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada said, is non-different than the very murti of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya from which it was arrived, is non-different than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and is not aware. So similarly, you will never give the dust of your feet to me. Rather, you try to take the dust of my feet. This is not good. So you cannot blame me the treasured object of all my goal of life I have achieved today. If you will not give it willingly, I have to get it by some other means. Then Lord Chaitanya went to get Advaitacharya's dust from his feet. And Lord Chaitanya is sometimes called Singha Chaitanya, because he's like a lion. And he took the dust of Advaita's feet all over his body. And then he was very happy. So Advaitacharya always wanted to be in the position of servant. And he considered it a curse that he was a Brahmin. Curse that he was a senior Vaishnav. He wanted the position of the people on the street, because they were getting the opportunity to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I'm being honored. He will not allow me to serve. So sometimes in our contaminated state of consciousness, Hare Krishna, we are desiring some high position, a position of respect. But the great souls, they don't like these things. Simply a disturbance. As a sacrifice for the purpose of preaching on behalf of Guru and Gauranga, we accept a position like this because it may be conducive to helping others become Krishna consciousness. It's an asset to our service. However, within the heart of hearts, it's a disturbance. Because a devotee wants to take the humblest, most menial position of serving everyone. So Advaitacharya was the highest Brahmin and the highest Vaishnav. But he was thinking, I am so unfortunate. The avadutas, the sinful beggars, the materialists, the atheists, they are given the right to serve you, but I am not. And in giving the right to serve you are giving them love of God, but Srivas and myself, we are being deprived of it. Therefore, I have personally drunk that love of God from you. I've stolen it. I've taken it away from you. And that's why you're not feeling any ecstasy. He was joking. But you know what Lord Chaitanya did? He became very grave. He ran to the door and broke the door down and ran outside. The devotees were fearful. Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu went running after him. The others were shocked. What did we do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just ran right to the Ganges, dove in the Ganges, went underwater and fell unconscious. Haridas Thakur and Sri Nityananda Prabhu were shocked, in a state of utter depression. They immediately dove into the Ganges. Haridas Thakur took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his feet, and Nityananda Prabhu took him by the upper part of his body, and somehow or other they struggled and strained to bring him out of the water onto the bank of the holy river Ganga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why have you done this? Why have you taken me out of the Ganga?